Hi, I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd. This is Toxic Free Talk Radio, where we talk about how to thrive in a toxic world. Even though there's toxic chemicals all around, we can still be healthy, happy, productive, and make the world a better place. This is Thursday, April 25th, 2013, and I'm here in Clearwater, Florida. Today, we're going to talk about the Mind the Store campaign that's being done by Safer Chemicals Healthy Families, and they're asking the top 10 retailers to remove from their shelves products, all products, that contain one or more of a list of 100 hazardous chemicals. My guest today will be Andy Egregious from he's the National Campaign Director for Safer Chemical Healthy Families, and he's running this campaign. But before I introduce Andy, I want to tell you something that happened to me yesterday. I want to talk to you about choice, which has everything to do with what we're talking about today and everything to do with toxic chemicals. Yesterday I received in the mail a letter telling me that I was part of a class action suit for a product that I had purchased during a certain time period, which was found to be defective. And since I was one of the people who had purchased it, and my name was on a list of having purchased it, that I was now one of the people that was part of the class action suit. And what was disturbing to me is that they didn't write to me and say that there's a class action suit, do you want to be part of it? They wrote to me and said, there's a class action suit and you've been named, and if you want to opt out of it, you can. And I read it, and I found that there was no financial compensation, that what I would get was this product again. And there was $830,000 worth of legal fees, and I wondered, well, if I'm somebody who would benefit from this, am I responsible for my portion of the $830,000 of legal fees? And I got about that far, and I decided I didn't want to have any part of this. And so I filled out their form. Now, what it took for me to opt out of something that I never agreed to be part of in the first place was that I had to fill out the form. I had to copy it front and back, and I felt like I needed to make a two-sided copy so the second page where my signature was would not get lost. And then I had to address three envelopes, send it to three different attorneys' offices, all to say no to something that I didn't agree to in the first place. Now, this is also a tactic that's used often where they say in some advertising, well, here, try this free for 30 days, and then we won't charge your card until day 31, but you have to opt out. And, of course, if you forget to opt out, then your card gets charged and et cetera, et cetera. So what I would like to see is I would like to see that we all have a choice to opt in instead of being required to opt out. And it's the same thing with toxics. We live in a world where the default is to be exposed to toxic chemicals. Yet there's no form that I can fill out that says I'm opting out of this toxic world. I want to live in the clean, safe, healthy world. And what we need to do is be creating that world. We can create it within our homes to a very large degree, enough that we can restore our health. But there's other things that we need to do to be opting in to a safe world. But we need to be creating that world, because at the moment it doesn't exist. So this is one of the reasons why I wanted to have Andy on today, so that we can talk about something that we all can do to make a difference, to get retailers to pay more attention to the kinds of products that are being sold in mass market stores. Andy, welcome to Toxic Free Talk Radio.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
Thanks for being here. Let me just tell my audience something about you. You're the National Campaign Director for Safer Chemicals Healthy Families. And prior to that, you headed the Environmental Health Program at the National Environmental Trust for 7 years. and that you've helped chemical policy reform on the national agenda through work on the KidSafe Chemical Act. And you've also worked on chemical security, right to know, food safety, California initiatives, and a list of a whole lot of things that are way too long. But I think everybody gets the idea that you have a lot of background and you've done a lot on the level of legislation and organizations to be working on that other retail and regulatory part, where I've been working for the past 30 years on helping consumers navigate the non-toxic stuff from the toxic stuff when they're making consumer product choices. It's become really clear to me recently that I think it's just a new level of awareness on my part of the necessity of changing regulations and getting retailers to do a different thing. So that's why I'm having you here today, because I want all my listeners to understand the importance of this as well. But first, tell us how you personally became interested in working in this field.
Well, that's interesting. I haven't been asked that in a while. you know, I've always been, I've always been interested in these issues, and maybe it does get back to the agenda. I grew up in a very industrial neighborhood. If anyone in your listening area is from New Jersey, I really grew up right underneath exit 148 on the Jersey Parkway, there are a bunch of factories there. There was a tube plant, an Eskimo Pie packaging plant, a pharmaceutical plant, you know, all humming with people. All of them have since closed and have moved on to other things because you can make the same stuff more cheaply in developing countries, unfortunately, and not abide by rules and regulations and pay people peanuts. But I grew up there, and as I've always had an interest in the sort of health, human health impacts of environmental issues. And I started a club in my high school to work to publicize the dangers of an incinerator that was planned for the nearby city of Newark. And when I dug into that, as far back as high school, you found that, well, what makes the incinerator ash toxic? And it's that there are toxic chemicals used in the packaging, basically, the products that people send to the incinerator. And you release some of these chemicals when you burn them. And in other cases, you actually create compounds called combustion byproducts. And that started what for me was always an interest in gee, isn't there – part of the problem is what are these chemicals in the first place? What are things made of in the first place? And at different times, at different points in my career, I've worked on trying to move the concern from sort of just the air and the water up to that more fundamental level of what do we make things from and how can we switch those things from being toxic things to being safer and healthier things.
Yes, that's been my interest, too, from not as young an age as you, but when I was in my early 20s, I became very ill from exposure to toxic chemicals in ordinary consumer products in my home. And my first question is, well, what are these chemicals? I had never had any attention on them at all. And suddenly, I was wanting to know, well, what's in the toothpaste? What's in the hairspray? What's in the perfume? And how come they're toxic? And how come they're making me sick? And where can I find a product that doesn't have this in it? And those questions were, I mean, I couldn't just go down to Walmart, for example, and buy the non-toxic perfume, you know? And this is what we're dealing with in the world today is, as I said early in the show, choices. That how do we have those choices? How do we know those choices? So now you're with Safer Chemicals Healthy Families. Tell me about that organization.
Sure. Well, we organized this a few years ago because we felt that there was a need to have a campaign from all the different groups who worked on this from different angles where we would together really try and put chemical reform on the national agenda, and that it required the big national environmental groups working closely with the community-based groups, working closely with health organizations that don't have an environmental focus but are just focused on individual diseases like autism and breast cancer and other things, and working with the health professionals. And so that's what Safer Chemicals Healthy Families is. It's a coalition that came together to advocate for reforming the federal system so that it addresses these issues.
And we need to take a commercial break. I need to stop you because we need to go to break. And you're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio with Deborah Lynn Dadd. Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and we're here with Andy Egregious. Did I say that right?
Egregious.
He's the National Campaign Director for Safer Chemical Healthy Families, and we're talking about their Mind the Store campaign. I interrupted you as we went to a commercial break. Was there more you wanted to say about your coalition at Safer Chemicals Healthy Families?
No, that's fine. This coalition of environmental and health groups and health professionals and businesses came together to, demand a comprehensive overhaul of our chemical policy so that we are ensuring that the products that end up on the shelves and that we take into our homes contain chemicals that have been assessed for their safety and are being used safely, and using the latest scientific recommendations that have been proposed by the American Academy of Pediatrics, National Academy of Sciences. There's legislation to do that, the Safe Chemicals Act, and we're fighting hard for that. But at the same time, the chemical industry has really mastered the art of promoting gridlock in Washington. Very powerful companies, ExxonMobil, a lot of people think of it as an oil company only, but it's also one of the top two chemical producers in the country, Dow Chemical, DuPont, have really banded together to block the reform. And so in the meantime, we created this Mind the Store campaign, and people can see it at mindthestore.org, to basically try and do, it's sort of our worlds colliding, you and me, take the power that consumers can have to make better decisions about the chemicals in there that are in the products they buy, and to increase the power of that by focusing it on the retailers. Because it's very hard for the average person to keep track of so many chemicals, but the retailers can. And so we're sort of asking, let's ask them to take a bigger bite out of this problem and promote broader health and safety goals than just BPA and baby bottles or phthalates and nail polish.
Consumers, I just want to underscore what you've just said about the power of consumers, because consumers have so much power, we don't even know how much power we have. What stores want to sell, what ends up on the shelf, is what you are buying. And so whatever it is that we say that we want by our dollars, how we spend our dollars, is what is going to end up on the shelf. If we were to all say that we were not going to buy any toxic chemicals for a week, say, well, I don't ever buy them. But if we could get enough people together so that Walmart or Target or any of these stores were to have no sales of toxic chemicals for a week, that would make a big impression on them, and they would say, I mean, we already see Walmart is already having some less toxic products. Target is having less toxic products. In fact, if you go to mindthestore.org, one of the things that they have there is a list of the top 10 retailers, and they tell you what these retailers have already done or haven't done. And so I see over a 30-year period, I see that there has been a change. I see that there's more and more non-toxic products than there were when I started 30 years ago, more choices for us. And it's just a matter of, it's not a shortage of products, it's a shortage of awareness and commitment and, of course, having the opposition of the chemical companies that don't want to give up their chemical production. But we have the upper hand. We really do. And so if we can't get the legislation passed because of what the chemicals are doing, we can get things changed in the stores by the choices that we make. So go on with your campaign.
No, that's exactly right. And I think it's hard, the awareness of this issue through your activism and people like you around the country is has increased, and it really has changed the marketplace. But it's, and in some places it's changed it fairly decisively. The markets for certain products containing certain chemicals have dried up fairly quickly. The chemical industry fears that because you can't, you know, you can buy off congressmen, basically, but you can't buy off everybody. And,
yes.
and that costs too much money. And people, when it comes to sticking up for their own health, you know, people don't see these trade-offs between, most people don't believe, and they're right not to believe it, that not having toxic chemicals means that, you know, we won't have products, that things will grind to a halt. At the same time, it's hard to just use your individual purchasing power because a lot of the toxic chemicals are in things that we don't associate with chemicals. It's not just the cleaners and the perfumes. It's the flame retardants that are in the polyurethane foam in your couch, that are in the pillow. You know, I've been working on these issues for a while, and I have to admit, when the flame retardant thing really started breaking, I realized, hey, wait, I have one of these pillows. I've been sleeping on this thing that I thought was, you know, cool and modern Swedish foam pillow, good for my neck. And it had this weird smell, I remember, when I got it. And I was like, wait, I've been working on this for a while. And I was bringing a flame retardant-related pillow, you know, home every night after doing this stuff during the day. So that's why we created this campaign to say, because I also think a lot of people want to look out for their own families. But I think we all, most people, good people, get the bigger picture and recognize that we need to take care of each other. And it shouldn't just be that, well, if I can afford it, I can go to the healthy products in aisle five. But, you know, gee, some other poor slob can get the cheaper thing in aisle two. You know, I think we recognize that, especially for some of the most dangerous chemicals we've known about for a long time, nobody really should be exposed to them. And we should be driving them out of the marketplace. And that's what, so this is an attempt to do that. It's to give you some tools that you can, by focusing on your retailers, and you can do it by email, and you can do it when you go into the store and ask them, what are they doing about this bigger list, this list of the hazardous 100, we're calling it. Can they, you know, ask the retailers, and I appreciate what you said about the website, because we tried to give them credit. Many of them have taken steps to address these things, but they've sort of done it after things have been in the press for a while, et cetera. And this was, well, what if we address a bigger group of chemicals and all the retailers do it at the same time? They could really make a very big difference. And they do care about what their customers are asking them to do. So we hope that it's a way for people to not just look out for yourself by not buying this or that, but also to take a bigger action, help them by focusing on the retailers that will protect, you know, broader groups of people from more chemicals.
Very good. So when we come back from the break, I'm going to ask you some questions about this list of the hazardous 100 chemicals and how, I'll wait and ask you the questions when we come back. I'm Deborah Lindad, and you're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lindad, and I'm here with Andy Egregious from Safer Chemicals, Healthy Families, and we're talking about their Mind the Store campaign, in which they're asking the top 10 retailers to remove products from their shelves that contain some of a list of 100 plus hazardous chemicals. So, Andy, let's talk about these 100 plus hazardous chemicals. Here's my question. I've been looking at products for more than 30 years, as you have. And the biggest problem that I have is disclosure. I can look at a label, and if they give me the names of the chemicals, I can look up those chemicals. Well, I used to look them up in a chemical dictionary and toxicology books, but now you can just look them up online. You could, you know, type in formaldehyde and BPA and find out what the health effects are. And yet there are, because of regulations and because of trade secrets and all kinds of other reasons, there can be toxic chemicals in products that are never going on the label. You can find them out in ways by looking at trade journals and things like that, which I've been doing all this time. But there's so many differences between formulas and materials that are used, and the labels are not accurate. So if I were a retailer, I could say, okay, I'm totally in agreement with you, with your Mind the Store program. Let's just get rid of all the hazardous 100 chemicals. How am I going to do that?
There's some experience with this already. So Walmart, when it first started getting involved in this issue, and I've talked with them some directly, and then their colleagues have dealt with them more. And there's some things they talk about freely, and others I think that they're proprietary about. But they were motivated partly to get in front of consumer preferences, so they didn't have another thing like they had with those BPA baby bottles, right, where the market evaporated for it, and they had already bought next year's baby bottles. They'd also had, from my understanding, some environmental compliance issues where, believe it or not, they were, and this makes sense if you know, as an engineer listeners do, that they would get rid of some inventory as solid waste, and some of it turned out to actually classify as toxic waste because of chemicals in it. And it made them think, my God, how does this work? Who's minding the store? And they realized that they had to. So in terms of how they would do this, they've shown that especially when you have the market power they have, but I think also for the other people on this list, they can actually say to their suppliers, hey, we need to know if you're using any of these chemicals. And it's a bulletin they can send out to all their suppliers. Do any of your chemicals, do any of the products that we buy from you have this list of chemicals? We need to know. And if they do, we're going to ask you to stop using them by this date certain, or we won't want to sell your product. And they've done that kind of thing. A couple of years ago, it became publicized. They sent a note like that to their suppliers about a number of different flame retardant chemicals. Yes. And it basically said, and it leaked to the press, but it was basically, this is in December, and it said, by June, we don't want any product that contains these chemicals in it. And so, boom.
I know that's been happening at Walmart. Yeah. Yes, because I know people who work at Walmart. So I know that that's been happening, and kudos to Walmart for doing that. But on the consumer end, when I walk into my Walmart store, which is not that often, but I do occasionally go to Walmart, and if I do, I'm looking to see where are the non-toxic products, and how would I know that? And as a consumer,
you wouldn't.
There's no label on it that says Walmart has just determined that these chemicals are not in here. I'm trying to see the connection between how we can, like you have a coalition of different organizations and interest groups and bringing them all together around legislation. This is so interesting to me that you're doing this, because I really see that in order for this really to change, there needs to be a cooperation between consumers, retailers, manufacturers, and regulations. And that there
needs
to be communication, that there needs to be a decision that we're all going to come out of this together in a way that makes economic sense. And that, I mean, I'm certainly not trying to make DuPont go bankrupt. What I would love is for DuPont to start making non-toxic products, you know, that I would like everybody to see that if we're going to be healthy, and if we're going to have a planet that's not destroyed, that this is the direction that we need to go, and to have there be disclosure on labels, to have there be, I don't really want there to be a central organization that verifies, but if Walmart has a program, and I see that they do, where they're saying to manufacturers, we don't want products that have XYZ chemicals in them, then somewhere you should be able to go to their website or something, and there should be a list that says, or a shelf talker, or a sticker, or something that says this is part of Walmart's Mind the Store program or whatever they're going to call it, and that you can go online and find out that we have verified that it doesn't have this and this and this in it. Now, it might not end up being perfect, because one thing that I see is that I have my own list of hazardous 1,000 or more chemicals that I don't want to see, because I'm always assessing products and choosing ones that don't have the chemicals I want to avoid. And so I can see that, like, a product might say, well, it doesn't contain formaldehyde, but what else does it contain? So there's many different levels, and I'm just am really interested in how, like, what if Target comes to you and says, okay, let's take out all these chemicals, or some smaller retailer than Walmart. What do you see as the process that they're going to follow?
Yeah, I mean, that is a good question, and I think it's a very sophisticated question, which makes sense for Toxic Free Radio, that you would be ahead of the curve on this. I think you put your finger on a number of things. I think one of them is, you know, consumers have a certain amount of power, but there's one of our themes for this campaign is, with great market power comes great responsibility, right? That
yes.
people
yes.
who buy huge quantities of things in bulk have market power. So it is the case that any one of these retailers in their world really have the ability to ask to get answers to the questions that they want if the penalty is that they won't sell something. And what we would like to do is to have each of them respond that they would like to work with us on how to implement this in ways that you know, that are achievable for them and are meaningful for the people that sell to them. So we're hoping
After
to have it be the
break.
Beginning of a process where we can work this through with them. Yeah.
Good. After the break, let's continue this answer, because I'd like to hear if anybody has responded, and if so, what did they say? But we're going to take it first. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and you're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. Talk Radio. You're here with Deborah Lynn Dadd, and I'm talking with Andy Egregious from Safer Chemicals, Healthy Families about their Mind the Store campaign. And before we go on with the interview, I just want to make sure that you know how to get more information about the campaign. You go to mindthestore.org, and if you want more information about Toxic Free Talk Radio, go to toxicfreetalkradio.com, and from there you can also go to links for other parts of my website, including Deborah's list that has more than 500 websites where you can buy non-toxic products, even though they're not on the shelf at Walmart. And I have a huge Q&A with thousands of questions and even more thousands of answers. And you can call me for a consultation if you want. There's lots of information on my website about how you can find, choose, and purchase toxic-free products. So, Andy, in this last segment, let's just talk about, tell us what the response has been from the retailers. Anybody responded? Hello, Andy? Sounds like...
Oh, I'm sorry.
Wake up!
I'm here. No, I apologize. I hit mute by mistake. None of the retailers have responded officially yet, except to say that they have the request and that they're considering it. In our letter to them, we gave them until June 1st, and it's partly that we didn't want to get... we recognize that it's a big request. It's a leap from doing this for a handful of chemicals to doing it for over 100. And we wouldn't want to get a negative response, because it seemed like we were asking them to do something impossible and let them absorb, you know, some of the materials and other things that we provided that that do show, suggest how to do this. So June 1st is when we'll find out what people's official responses are, and I'm hoping that they'll be positive responses and that they'll be the beginning of a process with us to develop a policy internally to weed these, identify where they have these chemicals in their supply chains and to move away from them. But you raised a point before you asked what the response was. I just wanted to come back to it. It was the idea that even if you get something, it doesn't just have formaldehyde in it. What does it have? And mm-hmm. that's something on the website. You'll see there's a bullet called Resources for Retailers that's very much about this phenomenon of we don't just want to move from known bad to unknowns. You want to move from known bad things to known good things.
Oh, wait, let me interrupt you for a second. Hold on, wait. I'm looking at your page right now at mindthestore.org, and I don't see that, Resources for Retailers.
It's over on the right. It's under, there's a list of the top 10 retailers, the Hazardous 100, Why Mind the Store, and then it says Resources for Retailers.
Oh, mine says Why Mind the Store. I don't have a Resources for Retailers. I have the top 10 retailers, the Hazardous 100 plus, and Why Mind the Store. I have a letter to Resources Retailers. Well, anyway.
Oh, if you go, I'm sorry, it's if you click on any one of those, that becomes a choice for you. It's not on the home page of Mind the Store.
I see. Okay, so listeners, what you need to do is click on any one of those three buttons. It'll take you to another page, and then there's a menu on the right that has the top 10 retailers, Hazardous 100, Why Mind the Store, Resources for Retailers, Methodology, and Partners. And so there's a lot more information inside once you click on something than there is on the homepage. Okay, thank you, Andy. Go ahead.
Well, and part of the reason we know this works is the most advanced experience in this country anyway with this kind of thing has been with the healthcare sector, in particular Kaiser Permanente and the Western States version of the Catholic HMO. It used to be called Catholic Healthcare West. Now it's called Dignity Health. And they, as part of their mission to reduce harm to their patients, you know, first do no harm, they put policies together to try and at first just identify the chemicals of concern that people were exposed to through medical devices like IV tubing and IV bags. But they wound up broadening to include the building materials in the facilities, the sheets, the fabrics, and now they're even getting onto the food that they serve. And they set these specifications of basically, we have all this purchasing power as Kaiser and as Catholic Healthcare West in this market, and we don't want things that have these chemicals of concern. But also when you don't bring those things, you also want to make sure that what you're replacing it with doesn't have any of these characteristics. And so that they set those specifications and they specified what the standards for what they substituted it with. And it was interesting because it had this ripple effect. It's changed the marketplace and increased the market for safer building materials, flooring, carpeting, as well as medical devices. And so that's some of the – in the resources thing, you'll see that there's a something from – a group called the Business NGO Working Group for BizNGO for short. It's a guide for how to implement this kind of policy, and it mostly comes from that healthcare experience. And so we're trying to take something that has worked, some techniques that have worked, and just very practical things, and have the retailers, you know, use them in a broader way and apply them to a broader set of chemicals.
This is very good news. Our listeners to understand that behind the scenes, there's a whole lot going on to make the world a less toxic place to live. And what we mostly see in the mainstream media is sensational stories about EPA and phthalates and fire retardants and all those kinds of things, because the mainstream media is pretty sensational. But there really has been progress if you know where to look. We have things like Kaiser Permanente, like Andy just described, and we have more non-toxic products to choose from, and there really is a trend. Wouldn't you say that there's a trend in the right direction?
I do believe there's a trend. It's hard to measure if it is keeping up with the problem. In other words,
I understand what you're saying.
but I think there is a trend, and we're, I think part of, you know, there's a little letter that I wrote on this website called Why Mind the Store is that I think we need to accelerate the trend, because the thing you just described of, which is a real difficult thing for activists when you're being ethical, we want to educate the public about these threats, but kind of like you mentioned, it's just another story about how there's something bad in something, and it seems like you can't do anything about it, and the world's coming to an end. That's very much not what we want. We want to educate people so they're aware of the problem and they can take meaningful action to right. to help improve things. I think a lot of these improvements ultimately do have to happen through policy changes, because only the government can force the testing of most chemicals as a condition for them staying on the market. But in the meantime, we have seen that these marketplace initiatives can really make a big difference, but they need to be more than just the chemical of the month. They can't just be, right. well, BPA's right. in the news, so okay, we'll deal with BPA. So that's what we'd like to think, and that we're making it easier for the retailers to basically go, oh, okay, here's this combined firepower of a lot of the nonprofit, you know, community is saying focus on this group of chemicals. They're giving us credit for what we've already done, and we're giving consumers a hook to also say, well, here's a way to use the fact that the stores care about you as a consumer and focus on something bigger than the chemical of the month. And so we're hopeful that we can accelerate that trend that you described. We have a trend, but I think the trend is it needs to be accelerated to really match the scale of what it's worth doubling back to, that the scientists and the doctors keep telling us more and more that we've been, if anything, understating the role that chemicals play in the yeah. chronic illness and the health Absolutely. Problems that we have in this country.
Absolutely. A few years ago, when Safer Chemicals Healthy Families first started, you published a really excellent report about how toxic chemicals are contributing to various health problems and the cost of how toxic chemicals are contributing to the cost of healthcare, which I have been linking to ever since.
Thank you.
Because it's so important for people to understand that. I think that, not to get off the subject, but I think that a lot of people still don't even understand that there's a problem. And, but I want to, we only just have a couple of minutes left. So I want to encourage people to go to your website, mindthestore.org. I encourage you to go on and look at what Safer Chemicals Healthy Families is doing overall. And as we finish up, why don't you tell us, we have like a minute left, I think, about a minute left. Just tell us quickly what consumers can do in our everyday lives. What can we do to help this?
I mean, I think the basic things that we know make a difference for reducing your own chemical exposure are things you probably go over a lot in this show. There's avoiding processed foods, which because the packaging are a big source of chemical exposure, you know, eating more whole foods, organic ones, if you can get them easily and afford them. You know, there's a certain big ticket things like flame retardants, buying mattresses and furniture that don't have these flame retardants in them, avoiding the chemical intensive cleaners and cosmetics. So those are things you can do to protect yourself. There's a bunch of resources. It sounds like you have the best catalog of anyone that I've heard in a while. How to avoid those things. But I think that in the meantime,
the marketplace, in terms of the marketplace, helping retailers understand. You can go to mindthestore.com .org, and right there you can send a letter to the retailers. You can put in your first name, your last name, your email, and your zip code, and just click the green arrow and send your letter. Andy, thank you so much for being with us today. I've learned a lot about what you're doing and have more appreciation for Safer Chemicals Healthy Families as an organization. And I'll talk to everybody tomorrow. Tomorrow, we're going to just have open phones. So I want to hear from all of you. I want you to call me and tell me what you're concerned about, what your questions are. I'm Deborah Lindad, Toxic Free Talk Radio.